Blog Talk Radio. Okay. Welcome.
I didn't hear nothing.
Yeah, welcome to Beyond the Mainstream. I had it set up to start. It was supposed to start.
Go ahead.
All right, I'll play the intro right now.
Okay.
Believe anything the mainstream media tells you? We don't. We cover what mainstream doesn't. Welcome to Beyond the Mainstream with Donnie C., Texas Bob, and Cinnamon. Tin hat not required. Call us with your opinion at 347-324-3752.
Okay, that's our new intro.
I think tin hat should be required. So yeah. How's it going?
Oh, it's going.
Well, another week gone.
Another week
of craziness of all over the place. So, and we made it through it. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, and we finally got Hillary Clinton to get out and speak. And
well, was it worth listening to?
Oh, good Lord! You know that song? I think it was in the '80s, and it's called "You Spin Me Round."
Yeah.
That song just got stuck in my head the whole day.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because she wouldn't answer certain things the right way, and then she'd just spin it a little bit.
Well, she should be done here pretty soon, right?
Yeah.
She's supposed to retire or quit.
Yeah, as soon
I don't
as
know exactly when.
I believe is when she's done. I said, as soon as Carrie is confirmed, I think that's when she's done.
Oh, you think you'll be confirmed?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
That's
another one. One of them lifetimers that's been up there forever. They shouldn't be there.
Seriously. Yeah, did you hear her big quote from that whole day? Besides Rand Paul stated that if he was president, she would have been fired. After that incident. And then her big thing to one of the senators, she said, what does it matter if it's a guy walking around a coordinated attack or a guy walking around on a Saturday night looking to kill Americans? And I'm like, that would be
what?
That was her quote.
Okay.
She got mad and she yelled it. Said, at this point, what does it really matter? Oh, it does matter. That's the whole point.
Yeah, it does matter. It does matter that if things that were told to her and other people in this administration that they could have prevented it, then, you know, but, you know, that's this whole administration, you know. It's always, it's never their fault, and
oh yeah, she did.
Someone or somebody else's, you know, somebody else's fault or some country's fault or, you know, anybody but them. It's been that way for the last, you know, since the very beginning, and it ain't going to change now. They've been getting away with it, you know.
Yeah, there's no outcry on anything, so, you know, why change?
Well, even when there is, and people, you know, good example, Fast and Furious. How long have they been trying to get all the documents for that?
Oh, good Lord.
They can't get them because they just choose not to, and they feel that they're above the law, and they don't have to be responsible for anything. Or not only responsible, but they don't have to explain themselves to anybody, you know? You got the email crap that was going on, you know, with alias emails. They started to dig into that, and same thing. You know, what we do is our own business.
Yeah, they're digging into it again.
Well, and they ain't going to get nowhere.
No.
You know, And, you know, I don't know how they need to do it or what they need to do. If, you know, impeachment's never going to happen, so, but they've got to do something.
Well, you never know. Now, did you hear the latest today on the appellate court ruling? He nominated, he put people in place in the on his labor board.
Mm-hmm.
There was vacancies, and they were supposed to be confirmed by the Senate. Well, he said because it was in recess, he didn't have to go through the Senate. You know, they didn't have to be approved. So he just put them in.
Right.
The court said that that's unconstitutional. Because the vacancies showed up before it went into recess, first off, and they weren't the regular break that they take once a year, the one between the Christmas holidays and New
right.
Year. That's the official break. That's the only time he should be able to do that, because they're not on break. They still should be able to get there and take care of something if something comes up.
Right. Well, again, like...
They pretty much they're saying, okay, whatever you say, and they're still going to continue doing business as usual with the people that are there.
So wait a minute. They said it was unconstitutional.
Yep.
And, of course, the Senate didn't say nothing, I would assume. So
yeah,
they're saying, even though it's unconstitutional, you can still do it.
The Obama administration is saying.
Oh, okay.
Like staying here, we don't care if you said it was unconstitutional. Pretty much what they're going to do is they're going to take it to the Supreme Court, and they're just going to keep doing business as usual with the same people. But there was a couple of Republicans that went out on the floor and said that these people have to resign and leave because, you know, they were unconstitutionally put there.
And of course they're not going to.
No, they're going to wait for the Supreme Court. The Obama administration's thing, it was more than it was a bunch of people that he put in, and I can't remember how many people. And there's three different cases, and the appellate court said no on one of the cases. So there's still two other cases out there.
That haven't been done yet.
Yeah, that haven't been done yet.
Well.
So they're just gonna keep doing as they do, even though they were told by the judicial system that it was unconstitutional. So I mean, it depends on how it flags on down, but you know, that's terms for impeachment right there.
Well,
it's going to get to Supreme Court, and you know, the little pocket Democrat, he'll help out the administration just like he did with the
Obamacare.
Yeah, that it's a tax, not a fee.
Well, you're probably right. You know, anything that goes to the Supreme Court nowadays is, you know, I used to say it was, you know, a chance. But I just, you know, like I said, it seems like everything is corrupted nowadays, no matter what it is. Even your justice, you know, your justice system, and it's all political. So,
yeah.
And that's not what it was intended, but that's the way it is. And, you know.
Well, even if it's all political, the way they set it up, there was three different rings. So nobody had the supreme power, and nobody, you know, and it kept things in balance, you know.
Right.
Things in check from, you know, one party or another running roughshod, and that
right.
just isn't working anymore.
The system doesn't work, so you need to change the system.
Yeah, we got.
Hey, Cow Killer, how are you doing? You know, when it, but unfortunately, even if they decided to, change the system, that's going to be corrupt too. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
So.
Oh yeah, because they're gonna look at. I mean, it's a power struggle now. It's no longer, governing ourselves and doing, running our country. It's now into power. It's now into what power can I get and what can I get for me?
Well, yeah. What I can get for me or my party.
Yep. So, speaking of healthcare, there's a new penalty that the insurance companies can start charging smokers a year. This was a provision in the Obamacare Act, in the Affordable Care Act, that allows healthcare insurers to charge smokers buying individual policies up to 50% higher premiums starting next January.
Well, I guess a lot of people are going to be lying about if they smoke or not, huh?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
and I don't
keep the premium down until they get caught, and then all of a sudden they ain't going to have no coverage of any sort.
So we're the ones that get to pay for those pre-existing conditions.
The sad thing about it is, they use, and I'm not saying, no means am I saying for people to smoke. God, it's a bad habit. It's no, for real. It's disgusting. I mean, you shouldn't do it. I wouldn't tell anybody to start smoking. But unfortunately, I've seen many a times. They use the excuse of, the healthcare for people who smoke is higher than people who don't smoke. Well, unfortunately, I see a lot of people that get cancer that's never smoked a cigarette in their life.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that cigarettes don't cause cancer and doesn't affect your body and all that type of stuff, but the reality of it is you don't have to smoke to get cancer. You don't have to smoke to get all these different types of diseases and everything else. So stop using that as your main gig to say to do stupid crap like charge you more because you smoke. Well, people that don't smoke, they get unfortunately women that get breast cancer and they don't smoke or whatever, so you're gonna charge a higher rate because for a woman just because you could get breast cancer. And it's not right.
Yeah. Now they're going to start gene testing you and see what things that might be possible. What your family history potential is. Do you have this certain gene that makes it makes you more likely to get cancer or more likely to get arthritis? Everything.
Heart disease.
Yep. Bad eyes.
Whatever. Yeah. Well, everybody's got pretty much the same genes. I'm not a scientist, nothing, but from what I understood when I was reading articles before, everybody's got the gene that causes cancer. Just some people it activates and some people it just don't. They don't know why, it just happens. So there's people in there that's got a gene that can contribute to cancer, but it doesn't mean that it's ever going to activate. So because you've got that gene, so let's jack your insurance rates up.
Yeah,
it's just an excuse to raise your rates. I mean, that's all it is. You knew this crap was going to happen. You know.
Yeah. And he's going to want to start embracing Obamacare because you can't really call it the affordable health care option.
It never was.
According to this article, they're going to charge older individuals more. Also under this provision on it, they can charge the older smokers more than they would fine than they would a younger smoker.
Well, because they figure if they fine them at the lower rate, a fine, maybe they'll quit. The older ones, unfortunately, hard headed.
Yeah.
You know, they'll say, "Well, hell, I'll pay the extra, you know, $50 or $100 or whatever it is."
Oh no, they're stating.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it could for a 55-year-old smoker, the penalty could reach $4,250 a year, and a 60-year-old could wind up paying $5,100 a year on top of your regular premiums.
Right. Well, you know, it's like a life insurance policy. When you go in and get a life insurance policy at 21, it's, you know, $7 $7 a month. Well, when you hit 48, 49, and 50, all of a sudden it went from $7 to, you know, $115.
Yeah.
And then when you get, God forbid, if you hit 65, you know, now you're paying $300-some a month. You know, this isn't no different.
Yeah. And well, according to the one, you know, an expert on individual health insurance markets, with the nonpartisan Kaiser Family Foundation, she said, if you're an insurer and there's a group of smokers you don't want in your pool, the ones you really don't want are the ones who have been smoking for 20 to 30 years. And then you can use this as the flexibility to discourage them.
Well, you know, not to be like a jerk or nothing, but let's face it, if you've been smoking for 20 or 30 years, your lungs are shot anyway.
Yeah, now, according to a study in Canada. Let's see if I can find it. If you quit smoking by the age of 40, your lungs will revert back to normal, like you never smoked before.
Bullshit. You're killing your lungs. There's no way that your lungs could just come back, you know, with all that tar and nicotine in your body and in your lungs, it just don't disappear.
Well, I have to say that lungs do have it depends on if you caused any scarring. Because my mom, when she quit smoking the first time, everybody quit because my grandmother had gotten cancer. And my mom, I think at that point she had been smoking for 20 years. And I was early teens when this happened. And
uh-huh.
She was smoking for about 2.5 years and something happened. She picked back up something happened and
in general.
Yeah, she ended up going back to smoking. But just before that she had gone in for her yearly physical and the doctor said, "How long has it been since you've been smoking?" You know, because he had it down that she had been a smoker for 20 years. And he said, "Your lungs are clear." He said, "It's almost like you've never smoked before." He said, "I would look at you as an occasional, you know, 2 or 3 cigarettes a week kind of person." So I don't, you know, they've got to be able to regenerate at some point. But he was amazed by how well hers did. And then that, in turn, also when other things came up that kind of helped with her going back to smoking. But she's quit now again.
Well, I was I was watching this show, and the doctor was sitting there, and the reason why I was watching it was that Sheen guy was on there. And one of his requests for him to come on the show was that he needed an ashtray in, I don't know, the green room or whatever room they put him in, you know, while he's waiting. But one of his requests was to have an ashtray. So this doctor, at the end of the show, brought out 2 lungs. And you know, had it covered up. And he lifted up one that was a healthy lung for somebody he's never smoked. And then he, of course, lifted up the other one, and this, you know,
Oh, yeah, they're awful looking.
You know, that awful looking thing was sitting there. And he basically said that, and there's no way of reversing this. When this happens to your lung, the more you smoke, of course, the worse it gets. But even when you quit smoking, you can't reverse it. That's what he said. So, I don't know. Like I said, I'm not a doctor.
I don't know if it would go back to where you've never smoked before, but I do know that they do end up healing themselves.
Well, I would say they would, you know, I would go as far as saying that they would clear up a little bit, but I just can't see it. I mean, when you took a look at that lung, there's, you know, this thing was pathetic looking. You know, I just can't see how it could change that much. I'm not saying it wouldn't improve a little because you're not damaging it anymore and, you know, it might get a little bit better off, but I just can't see how, you know, exactly, it would improve that much. I don't know.
No. And I cannot find the article. See, I have to start going to my news sites in order. That way I can remember which news site I saw something on.
No.
I saw it on two different sites, and do you think I could, you know, catch one or the other? No.
Of course not. The only time you're looking for something, you can never find it. I think that's part of the... Donnie's the same way. He does the same stuff. He'll save something so he can talk about it later, and then all of a sudden he can't find it.
I just wasn't going to talk about that one, but then we started smoking thing, and I said, oh. So
yeah.
Another thing for healthcare, there was two of them. One of them is going to be a big, not the FDA, Health and Human Services is bringing on $91 billion. In three new acts, and one of them's for the Medicaid, I believe it's Medicaid or might be Medicare. And then the other one is for food safety. The other two are both related to food safety. So you know that's going to be $9.1 billion. I found the article.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to jolly well jack up prices.
Well, let's be real. Anybody that approves, you know, pink slime for people to eat, can't really trust them for anything for food safety.
You think
I really give a shit what the government tells you what's good for you and what's not good for you?
Yeah.
But some of the crap that they let people do to produce food and put, you know, steroids in animals and everything else, and that's good for you? Come on.
Yeah. Well, the one of the major costs is from the expansion of Medicaid, the state's children health insurance program, and the state-based health insurance exchange programs, all mandated. That's going to cost $2.6 billion with a paperwork burden of 518,000 hours. They've only allowed 17 working days to submit comment on a nearly 500-page overhaul for these two programs. Now, the one is pretty much what they're doing is they're. Oh, for the FDA, the additional paperwork burden hours is going to require 5,005 employees dedicated solely to the red tape compliance. Now, the ones for the FDA is standards for harvesting and holding produce for humans to consume, and the other one is to standardize and modernize manufacturing practices and analysis for hazardous food. They're saying the one is going to cost 1.3 million in paperwork hours. The other is going to be 8.8 billion hours of paperwork.
So in other words, they're just putting more money in for government jobs.
Pretty much. They're buying, yeah.
That's exactly what it is. And we all know how government jobs are.
Yeah.
You know, go out there and watch them. You know, it ain't no different than a city job or a government. City jobs and government jobs are all the same. Go out there and see how many people it takes to fill a pothole. You know? You gotta have six people holding the shovel and one filling the hole to get the whole filled.
Yeah.
And it ain't no different for them paper pushers neither.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way that the government's trying to set everything up now, everything's going to be in computers anyway. Your health records are going to be on computers.
So, well, the health records.
You know, it don't take 1,500 people to employ to push one button on a goddamn computer. You know?
Yeah. Now, I had another article, but I cannot find in this article anywhere what the loophole was.
Loophole as far as?
This is for Amgen. And Amgen is the world's largest biotech firm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here it is. In the fiscal cliff that they had to sign, you know, on New Year's Day, gives this company 2 years of relief from Medicare cost controls for certain drugs used by patients who are on kidney dialysis and something else. And this actually gives them, where's the amount? It's going to cost taxpayers. Oh, jeez, I just had it.
It's going to cost taxpayers a boatload of money.
I think it's $500 million. For 2 years.
To cover their crap.
Yeah, because they don't have to reduce their prices because of Medicare. Or Medicaid. Nope, Medicare.
Well, so they still get the full price for their medication.
Yeah, they still will charge full price, and
of course, if we remember correctly, somebody that is on Medicaid or Medicare, your deductible went up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And not only did your deductible go up, but your cost of your Medicare went up.
Yeah.
So by you having to pay more into it, you're going to save this company over here from having to cut their prices to crap.
Yep. $500 million. Is the
that realistically probably 90% of the shit don't even work.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen many times where they come out with medications that's supposed to do all this crap and it ends up killing people, or it doesn't do what they say it's going to do.
Now, this company has also been. Has pled guilty to fraud and agreed to pay $762 million in criminal and civil penalties before.
And how much?
Illegally marketing one of their drugs. And I do remember that. And it's saying here that they're still under a massive federal investigation. But three senators are ones that put it in there. And if you want to know who they are, it's two Republicans. Okay, it's Mitch McConnell, Matt Baucus, and Orrin Hatch.
Yes, they got stopped in this company.
Well, they didn't. It doesn't say that they've got stock in it, but they have received.
Well, hell no, they're not going to tell you.
They have received hefty campaign donations. Since 2007, employees and its political action committee have contributed nearly $68,000 to Senator Baucus, $73,000 to McConnell, and $59,000 to Senator Hatch.
So, in other words, like you know, we were saying before, it's crooked shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to politics in the United States. They all get greased by all these different firms.
It's also saying in here, this was originally in an article in the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Eric Lipton and Kevin Sack that did the investigative reporting on it. They also say that Senator Hatch was the one that helped, kind of was the head of the three of them trying to weave the loophole. He used to work as a health policy analyst for Amgen.
So he worked for the company.
Yeah.
So them are his buddies.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 congressmen that have introduced a bipartisan legislation to repeal the $500 million giveaway. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, hopefully it gets appealed because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, these other three clowns, they should be sent to prison.
Yeah.
Because this, you know, they're trying to, anybody that tries to pass laws that benefit a politician, their own selves, and especially a politician, they should go to prison.
Yeah. And of course, you're not going to hear about this, you know, in the regular news because, you know, those guys, those three guys are, you know who they are. The people introduced the legislation are, you know, they're just representatives, and you don't know them unless they're, you know, in your area.
Right.
One's from Vermont, one's from New York, and there's two of Tennessee and one from Iowa, and not anybody I'd ever heard of. So you know it's not gonna go out there, but if people don't talk to their local representatives, you're gonna get another big spike in your taxes along with all the other stuff that's coming down the pike.
Well, like I said a couple of weeks ago, people get ready to open up your wallet.
Yep.
And just let them take it because they're going to take it. They ain't going to be happy till you're down to, you know, $2 in your wallet.
Oh, yeah. Did you read the article? I only saw the headline for it, but there was a fight in the food stamp office.
I didn't read the article, but I did see it. Wasn't that in Detroit?
I don't know.
I believe it was. But I'm not 100%. I thought that was up in Detroit. That happened. But I didn't read the article because I just, you know, look. There's
no,
desperate people out there. You know. They'll do whatever it takes to get whatever they can get.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you know,
when you're starving.
And also the fact of the matter is they're changing their food stamp stuff because I know they made cuts in it. So even though there's more people on it, they're getting less money to try to live off of this stuff.
Yeah.
I know this one lady, it's her and her two kids. And for food, and she has no job. They get $200 a month. How in the hell could he feed three people with $200 a month?
This, yeah, see, that's just, that's ridiculous.
You know, and that's what happened, and you knew that was going to happen when more and more people got onto these programs. You know, there's only so much money there. So the more people you add to it, you have to take from the ones that are already on it.
Yeah, that.
You can't live off of. You cannot feed a family of three with $200 a month. I don't give a shit how many beans you eat.
No, but I do have to. I'll ask you about your area, but up here, we've got a lot of food banks, and It used to be there was just a couple around, but
right.
even in just my local area, I don't even have to go into Flint. There's a quite a few of the churches have
right.
got food banks now
mm-hmm.
that open up at least once a month. Sometimes if they've got more, you know, if there's a holiday coming up and stuff like that.
Right.
I just wonder.
They have those here, but the reality of that too, because when you listen to all this, a lot of these food banks ain't getting the donations they used to.
Well, that's what I was going to say is I've seen an increase in as many food banks, because it used to be like the local churches would go together and we'd give, you know, they'd all give to like one particular food bank, unless
uh-huh.
of like one family in need in their area, you know, that kind of thing. But I don't know, because I'm still giving to the food bank. Anytime I catch keeping the stores downstairs. Anytime I catch pretty good stuff, I always take it over and donate it to the food bank. And let me tell you, okay, Big Lots.
Mm-hmm.
Big Lots. Have you ever been
okay.
to a store?
No, I've heard of them, but
oh.
I've never been to one.
I love Big Lots, but after so many purchases, you get a day of 20% off. Well, they sell food at Big Lots. They sell, you know, different kinds of foods, and it's usually the expiration date on the bottom of the can is 9 months to a year away. So it's not something that you normally in your grocery store. I think it's 3 to 4 years.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's got a longer storage life.
Yeah. And then every once in a while they'll do a sale where if you're, you know, a Big Lot, you know, member kind of thing, you can go in and it's a day for 20% off. On those days, you cannot go in there and go into that food area because there's always a bunch of people there with like two or three carts grabbing all that food, and they're local churches.
Uh-huh.
They're going to give it, they're getting it and they're taking it to their local food banks because, you know, nobody, you're getting your food, if you're getting your food, getting help from the food bank, you're not keeping that stuff in your cabinet for a year.
Any length of time, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, I mean, we got grocery stores. The one that comes to mind real quick that I know is the one's called HEB. They do a lot of that. They'll have, you know, like when they have their own bread. Okay. You know, bread, the hamburger bun type of and stuff like that, their own store stuff. When it gets close to, you know, when the bread needs to be sold or whatever, the churches will come in there and they'll give it to the churches, you know, the local
okay.
churches, which is great. I mean, I think that's a great thing. Don't get me wrong. You know, but, you know, it's a good thing, but
it's a sad state of affairs.
Sometimes I wish that you know they would. You know, it's a great thing that they donate it, but you know, there's people that you know. I don't know how your food banks work up there. But I do know, you know, down here there's kind of a, you know, you have to fall into a certain category to be able to get food from a food bank. You know, I
depends
mean,
depends on which
just...
bank you go to.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, they had stories in the news down here about people that were getting in line at food banks that didn't need the food. So,
yeah,
certain food banks would come in and they'd say, okay, you have to fill out this paper, and you know, you have to fill out some kind of form, and you had to follow within these guidelines.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, for you to be able to go into this food bank and get food out of this food bank. You know. But I've seen people that don't really fall into those guidelines, but they're for example, food stamps. You know, you have to make under a certain amount. Let's just say it. You got to make under $14,000 a year. Let's just say.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you got some person here that makes, you know, $15,000 a year. So he's not eligible for food stamps. So it's kind of hard for that person that's making $15,000 a year to feed his family. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so there should be
it's
something.
Hard to feed yourself.
Right. So there's got to, to me, there's got to be something in between, you know. So like HEB that gives their food to the food bank, it, you know, it's a good thing for that. But, you know, I always think about these people that aren't quite there, that they could actually put, you know, say give half to a food bank and take the other half instead of selling your bread for, you know, $3 a loaf, sell the shit for 75 cents.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wish there was more of that type of thing.
Well, see, we've got the Save A Lot stores, and like Big Lots, where like you can get your canned vegetables for 50 cents instead of the $1.15 at the regular grocery store.
Uh-huh. Well, see, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, there's not enough of those.
Yeah. Well,
I
guess maybe because Michigan's been in a downturn for so long. What I was trying to say is I've seen it used to be that the need wasn't great enough for each church to do it on its own. What they did is they gathered and then they consolidated all to, you know, one area. But the need has gotten so big that each church has its own bank, has its own food giveaway program.
Mm-hmm. Which, like I said, is a good thing.
Yeah. And usually
it's a good thing because they're trying to help people in their community.
Yeah.
But it's a sad thing that people are having to go through this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it ain't going to get no better anytime soon. It's going to get a lot worse. And it's going to get to the point where, you know, let's face it, these food banks and stuff ain't even going to have enough food for them. I mean, they're already having problems now. Every year you see, you know, they have these food drives and stuff, and they'll tell you, you know, our donations are down so much percent this year. And it's always going down.
Yeah, see, I hear about that, like, in New York, you know, they're doing, like, the big drives. We're not having that problem with that here. We don't give blood. We'll give you food, but we won't give you blood.
Well, yeah, but I don't see, I mean... I don't see how it can't be going in there, in Michigan.
What?
You know, I can't see how it can't be because you got more people that are unemployed and down on their luck or whatever, you know, whatever, there than anywhere.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I think it's more like, okay, let me put it this way. I remember when I used to waitress and bartend. And there was one point where I was waitressing, I was working at a printing company, and I was working at a mall, and I was working all three jobs at the same time, but they were all part-time.
Uh-huh.
Broker than you wouldn't believe. And I didn't even think about going to a food bank or anything like that, but I remember being, you know, like that kind of way, and I remember one of my friends... She was doing the same thing. Their car died, and she lost two of the jobs that she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a bunch of us, you know, every once in a while, if we'd go to the grocery store and go, oh, hey, you know what? We bought, you know, I bought this and I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to use this. Or I'd give her stuff and say, I can't eat coconut. I'm allergic to it. You know,
right.
Like that. And
you would do it.
Yeah, or, you know, just donate a little bit or go, hey, I made too much, you know, I got the leftovers from last night. You want to take these for the kids? That
right,
kind of
right.
stuff. And
you helped each other.
Yeah, but I didn't think about giving to a food bank or going to a food bank because it just wasn't on my radar. Now, if I'd been, you know, like a regular churchgoer or something like that, I might have used that. But I think about that now, even when things are tight. You know, and I'm trying to keep the grocery budget down as much as I can, and I'm a big coupon person, and I even clip the coupons for my mom and stuff. I still do the same thing. I catch a big sale, and it's usually about once a month, and I'll set them off to the side. If it's not something that I'm going to keep in my stockpile, I'll leave it off the side, and I can get a grocery sack going or something like that, and I'll send it over to my neighbor so she can take it up to the church for the food bank.
Right.
I get 20% off at Big Lots, I know I'll pick up canned meats, you know, and canned vegetables.
Yeah, well, you're about 1% of the population.
I don't know, because my mom does it. My mom's been stuff lately to take over to the neighbor.
Like I said, you're probably about 1% of the population that does, you know, takes the time and the effort to do something like that. Majority of the people, if you took, you know, let's just say where you're in, you know, out in your area, you know, maybe if you're lucky, a third of the people might do what you're saying right now. The rest of them don't.
Maybe the increase is also because it's easy for me. I can, you know, I get a group of stuff together. I don't have to make an out-of-my-way trip or anything like that. I'll just, you know, call my neighbor, hey, can I drop this stuff by, and you can take it up to your church.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's that way because now they've got those bins in the grocery store where you drop in non-perishable items as you're walking out. I don't know if you've got those at yours.
Yeah, all of them do. They have
the
55-gallon metal drums. If you want to donate food, you can donate. They even got them prepackaged. If you want to give them $10, you can take this whole bag or whatever.
Yeah.
It's in there. And put. Yeah, they have those here. But my area that I've seen, when you really look at those, there's certain times of the year, they'll fill up for Christmas, Thanksgiving. I mean, they'll have food all over the place. But the rest of the time of the year, you don't see much in them.
Like I said, maybe that's because we've had higher unemployment than the rest of the nation for quite a while.
Right.
So when the recession hit in and everybody's starting to cry, you know, us Michigan people are going, ha-ha, we already know about this.
Well, yeah, you know, you've been
welcome
living
my
it.
World.
Yeah. Right, you've been living it.
So maybe it's because of that.
You're probably right. You know, I mean, a lot of people here, it's a shock. I mean, let's, you know, down here at my end, it's, you know, our state's basically, it's oil related. So when, you know, the economy went to hell and all that, or you know, gas prices shot through the roof. You know, if you didn't work for a refinery, you weren't making no money. Or if you didn't work, you know what I'm saying, in that field.
Yeah.
You know, then, you know, a lot of other places were hurting, and people down here wasn't used to that. So it was a big shock. You know what I'm saying? They didn't know how to
pool resources.
Right, you know, pool resources. They didn't know how to survive on, you know, bare minimum. Well, you know, don't get me wrong, it's not that bad down here, because our economy down here is not nearly as bad as what it is in New York and other states. Our economy is still pretty good. Our job market is still pretty good. You know, hell, to be honest with you, it's damn good. But, you know, we're just not used to it. We don't know it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it could also be that you're not used to somebody that's been looking for, you know, that's been trying to look for a job for 2 years.
Getting down
brass tacks. It's
right.
And
exactly.
Everybody up here knows somebody that's hit the skids really hard at certain times.
Yeah, you know, I'm not trying to make it like this is a great state or nothing. You know, it's just that's just the way it is here. You know, we're not, you know, we got so much different. You know, before we were mainly, you know, like I said before, you know, we were mainly an oil state. Well, our state's kind of expanded a little bit now. It's more, you know, you got oil, you got computers, you got, you know, all kinds of different stuff. And the other states, you know, it's certain jobs. You know, like Detroit, I mean, realistically,
well,
the biggest employer there is auto, right? And when the auto industry gets hurt, then, you know, you're talking a whole goddamn state of thousands and thousands of people that depend on that auto industry for their living.
Oh, yeah. And it started back just before NAFTA, but NAFTA put, like, a big nail in it, too. I mean, it used to be, you know, we were the Rust Belt. That's what we kind of considered. But, yeah, we were all the plants were running. And then plants started shutting down and either moving out of state or out of country.
Right.
And, yeah, so we've been going through this for a long time.
Yeah. Now, I have heard, you know, that from down here that they're saying that there's businesses that are actually starting to move up towards up north. You know, so from what I understand, it's getting a little better. I mean, it's not great, but it's getting a little better. That's what they say. No, I don't know. I don't live there. You know, but that's what they say. You know, there's more businesses moving in. And, you know, when you all were talking about the right to work, you know, making it a right to work state, you know, and I heard people, you know, complaining the fact that, you know, that's going to cut our wages and this and that and this and that. Yeah, it's going to hurt some people, but it's going to benefit a hell of a lot more if you can get other businesses in there. You know, you might not make, you know, $50 or $30 an hour, but, you know, these people that ain't making anything, you can get a job that pays them, even if it's something that's as low as, you know, $25,000 a year. That's better than what when they were making nothing.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It sucks for some, but it benefits a lot more people than it does hurt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm down here rooting for it to go for the whole, everybody go to be a right to work state.
That's me. The right to work part about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think attracts. It's not gonna attract like more like a new GM factory or anything like that. It's gonna attract your 50 worker little subsidy.
Small businesses. Right.
Auto manufacturer. Hey, we make this. You know, we make these two knobs for these cars, kind of thing. Because those ones that I've always been nervous that UAW is going to try and go in and organize them, because they're not union.
Correct. You know.
But they were always worried about it.
Well, do you blame them?
Oh no.
Okay. You know, I'm not going to sit here and dog the union. It's not my place. You know, what people want to do is their own business. And if they want to join the union, and that's fine and good. That's your business. You know, you do what you want to do. But I also think that, that there should be companies that can, should be able to go in, into to these union states and start a business and not have to worry about the union. You know what I mean? Because these smaller businesses, you know, even though it's a small, it's not a GM or a Chrysler or a Ford, but these smaller businesses that come in there and can make money, and it benefits everybody in that state.
I the one thing I have to say about the right to work is it just makes a place, if it gets unionized, you don't have to join the union. So even these little small businesses, they still can get, they can still become unionized small business.
Right, they could.
And the people, and it goes back to how the employee, the employer treats the employee. Now, if you got, you know, you get those little factories up here, and they're, you know, they're working your ass off for minimum wage, they're gonna look at the union and go, yeah, help us out, man. You know,
yeah, I have to take a month off for
medical leave every 6 months because they're working me too hard.
Well,
you know that kind of thing.
I would say, yeah, to you know, possibly, but. I think you'd be surprised how many, and it's unfortunate, because there is companies out there that's going to take advantage of their workers. I mean,
yeah,
they're going to be there.
And it's, it's not just companies. It's almost every company, if they could, would.
Right. But, you know, but you've got basic guidelines that, you know, like minimum wage, that you have to pay at least a certain amount.
Yeah,
but
hold on. But okay. that's because of the unions. The unions are the ones that set up the laws that are put into effect for employee safety, and minimum wage. You know, like the 40-hour work week, that kind of stuff. It's all because unions fought at union plants. And the government finally went, yeah, okay, this was pretty bad. This is why this was started, and they got, and the laws got put into place because of that. Now, I'm not saying that's going to go back, but if unions die out completely, I would say with the corporate money and lobbyists and our government, I could see in 50 years, if the union went out tomorrow, I could see in 50 years. Our workforce would be China again. It would go back to the same thing.
Well,
and I'm not a union.
I don't think so.
And I've never been
a union. You know. Here's the reality. Down here, unions ain't no thing in union. You know. 99% of the companies and businesses down here are not union. Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but
I don't know of any, companies down here that makes you work, you know, 60 hours a week for minimum wage.
They can't now.
Okay.
They can't. There's laws against that now. That's what I'm going to say. It's because of the unions that those laws came out. And we're going to get off this because this is a topic for Sunday show.
Yeah.
But.
It's not a topic for Sunday show because I can't say nothing because they're all union people.
Oh, they wouldn't. No, you know what? Hold on for a second. If you called in and asked or sent in an email and typed in and say exactly what did unions, you know, like why were unions started and what do unions do, that kind of thing. And what laws were, you know, or what laws came about because of union influence, that kind of thing, you know.
Okay.
I mean, unions did get out of control. They got everything.
They're out of control now.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. They got everything needed to be done. And instead of safeguarding that kind of stuff, they kind of got, you know, it's just like anything else. You give somebody a little bit of power and they expand over to other stuff and you start irritating people.
And basically now they're screwing their own union members.
Well, I wouldn't say all of them are that way.
I'm not saying all, but
quite a few of them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all of them are just crazy stuff.
I mean, and I'm not just talking, you know, UAW. I'm talking teachers' unions, police unions, all of them.
Oh yeah, the teachers and like police and fire unions, man, they're hardcore people. They believe their union no matter what. They're like little mafias.
Right. And the reality of it is these unions, the teachers' unions and the police unions and the fire department unions and all these other different types of unions have bankrupt cities.
Well,
because they want. And the taxpayer, you know, and then the government says, okay, we'll give you this, give you that, give you this, give you, and now all of a sudden, hey, wait a minute, we're broke.
Well, now, just to be perfectly honest with you, just because I've seen some of the negotiations that they've done, they don't usually tell the union side of the story. The union will go in and go, hey, okay, what they don't want defunded is the pension.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can do it for like active workers where they know that they've got to scramble somewhere else, and this, but you can't do this to somebody that's right here or people that are already on pensions. You can't cut the pension. And
okay.
I can see that that's a good thing to fight for. Because
well, your pensions, yes, but when it comes to stuff like health care, that type of thing.
But that's the kind of thing that my grandfather lost all his health care. He was 80 years old. They sent him a letter. Sayonara.
He retired. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the union screwed him.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't part of the union. He was a salaried worker.
Oh, I thought he worked for...
He worked for GM, but he was salary. He wasn't union.
He wasn't part of the union?
No. Just the people that work on the line, salary people.
Uh-huh.
The white-collar people that work in the plants.
Uh-huh.
Management and that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
They're not
union.
No.
Yeah, they're not union. Yeah, okay.
But they got the benefits. So anything that got... Once the union contracts came through, anything that... That the union
got, they got too.
Yeah, theirs kind of mirrored the same thing.
They weren't a part of the union, but sort of like when I worked for a valve company. When I worked for a valve company, they were a union. You didn't have to join the union, but they had to represent you, and you got all the benefits of the union. Now, once you retired, then those benefits that you were getting from the union, so the same type of coverage as you were the first to get cut.
Yeah, and that's what
because
that's
you weren't in the union.
That's what happened with my grandfather. and this is 7 years ago now. So this is even before
uh-huh.
the bankruptcy. This is before the Obama healthcare thing.
Right.
They just said, "See ya, we're done."
But,
here's
but, right, and like I'm saying, I don't want to pound on the car union, because like I said, it's also the teachers unions and everything else.
I'm trying to say is here in Flint they had to do a big thing with between the firefighters and the police. They're two different unions, but the firefighters were given hand over fist to try
mm-hmm.
and get this. And what this because we've got emergency managers now in Michigan. So
mm-hmm.
for your mayor and your city council, if your city is taken over by emergency manager, they can't do anything. Nothing. The emergency manager
okay.
nothing. And he doesn't have to do he does what he wants to do. He doesn't have any repercussions on what he's doing. And what he pretty much wanted to do was shut down the firefighters union.
Mm-hmm.
And the firefighters were given back a lot to keep a lot of these firehouses open. And he kept egging away at it. And actual firefighters went out and researched this stuff, and they wrote grants requests. And they got federal government grants to keep these people in. And, I mean, they still gave back what, they still worked a better contract. But once they got those federal grants and they looked at what they were giving back. They're going, oh, hey, you can't stomp these people down, you know, like this. So, I mean, some of the cities just don't want a union there at all. So you have to look at the other side of the story. There are a lot of times that some of these unions are giving up a lot of stuff.
Well,
but you never hear that part about it in the mainstream media, because the union is, you know, AKA the mafia. You know, they're the bad guys.
They are.
They're not anymore. Back in the 70s.
That's what they started off as, and that's what they still are.
No.
You know, shit.
They started off as poor guys falling out on the line, freezing, working 12-hour days.
And these people became union members, and then the head union people made all this money off these people. And they were no better than the goddamn mafia. You give me money or you ain't going to get that or this.
No, it took a while to get corrupted. And it did, and a lot of these just got corrupted. Oh, man, I'm not going to hear it tomorrow at work. Jesus.
Hey, look, don't blame Donnie. This isn't Donnie's opinion. This is just my opinion.
Yeah, but...
It's from somebody that's not in the union, don't fully understand union, but...
Well, yeah, he's gonna, they're going to go, why doesn't your wife know how to shoot him down a little better?
Well, I'm not jumping on you. This is just
No, I understand. And unions did get very corrupted. And there still is a lot of buddy systems in certain unions, you know. And there's... But anytime you give... But anybody a certain power, they're going to corrupt it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And just so Donnie don't get too much crap, okay, I listen to the shows on Sunday. And I hear the people that are in these unions complain about the unions all day long. So,
oh, yeah.
So, for whatever reason. And I'm sure that, and I've listened to it, and some of them are damn good reasons. But the bottom line to it is this. It's corrupted. It's, they take advantage of their now I'm talking UAW, because this is what I've listened to. Okay? They took in their employees, and now they're trying to work them twice as hard, trying to work, basically kill them. These unions did this to you, folks.
Yeah.
And they're aware of it, because they're the ones complaining about it.
Yeah. And there's not much that the union can do. I mean, can work, work a little harder with, because it's each plant has its own union.
Right.
And then they all are under, it's like your local representatives.
Mm-hmm.
And so they deal directly with the plant. Each plant runs a little bit different. Certain line speeds, certain jobs are, whether it's a two-person job or a one-person job, stuff like that. Their local union could work a little harder working with the plant to get, either line speeds down a little bit, or, hey, this job needs to be a two-man job, that kind of stuff. And they're not really doing that stuff. I don't know if it's because it's an old plant. It has an old paint shop. And I think they're worried that could just make, GM go, okay, we'll just go ahead and go someplace else kind of thing. If they're not putting up the numbers,
it's somewhere else. Right, because... What they negotiated, and I'm not just blaming, the bottom line is it took two people to negotiate anything.
Yeah.
So if a union wanted something and the company said that they were going to give it to them, then the company should give it to them. Because that's what they said they were going to do.
Yeah.
The company didn't have to fold under to these unions. They did.
No,
and
yeah.
Now they're trying to. Huh?
That's another big myth about the unions. Some of this stuff was thrown at the unions. Some of these big perks that they say, you know, you like UAW workers get and stuff like that. The unions didn't go in asking for this.
They asked for it. The company gave it to them.
Yeah, the company said, "Hey,
because they say we'll give you 3 weeks sick." No, I'm just throwing crap out here. We'll give you, okay, the it's negotiation time. Okay, instead of giving you, let's just say, a $3 an hour raise, we're going to give you a $1 raise, and we're going to give you 3 weeks of sick time. Okay? That's what they threw at the union. And the union,
yeah.
They went to the people, and the people, hell yeah. You know, I'll take
yeah.
You know, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, these companies trying to keep, you know, for whatever reason, their payroll down by subsidizing it with, you know, shit like sick time and personal time or whatever, you know, whatever they want to call it, and all these other perks. You know, we'll pay a little bit more into your insurance. And it was fine at that particular time until the insurance rates went up and people, you know, all of a sudden, you know, and people take advantage of the sick time because, you know, they say, well, we'll give you this 3 weeks sick time, but if you don't use them, we'll pay you back. Well, these people decide they're going to use, you know, all 3 weeks of their sick time, which slows down your production line because there's people not at work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, and it started hurting the company. And now the company wants to come back and say, well, I know we gave this to you, but we want to take it back. And, of course, people, you know, complaining because, you know, we didn't get those raises that you know, we didn't get that $3 raise, an hour raise, because you gave us this perk, and now we didn't get the raise, and now you're trying to take that perk away from us.
Well, see, now, okay, and I'll tell you this. When, before GM went into bankruptcy, they opened the contract ahead of time. Normally, I don't know exactly, but contracts are like, I think it's every 3 years. I could be totally wrong.
Yeah, it's whatever.
They opened the contract in the middle and did negotiations and said, hey, we got to renegotiate this contract. The union was willing to give back all the stupid little perks.
Uh-huh.
And what happens is usually they give you so much when they're in a big boom time. And this big boom time was like in the 70s, and it keeps going down.
Right.
And so they've got 20 years, 30 years, or 40 years of that back, and then they're turning around and they're trying to take stuff. I mean, they always try.
I understand. Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying.
But a lot of the union workers are like, okay, yeah, we can give away. At one time, they got so much money to go to college.
Uh-huh.
And get like their college paid for free or anything like that. But
right, they got money put towards a college schooling if they wanted to do it.
And the same for kids and or your wife.
Ooh.
They would pay for that stuff. They had a lot of weird little perks.
Right.
Anyway, so they're willing to give that kind of stuff up.
Uh-huh.
They're going, well, you know, no. And I know. They cut the schooling one. They cut back. They cut off the kids first. Then they cut off the spouse, and then they finally cut off the person. Well, they could have cut, you know, the whole thing, you know, right at first.
Yeah. Hang on for a second, because we got somebody been on hold for a while. I just got back to the switchboard. Hang on. Hello, you're on 360.
Yeah, I think you know who this is.
Okay. What's going on?
Well, I will tell you one thing as a person that has done payroll for unions, I'm not a very big fan of them, quite frankly. For one thing, because I've had so many headaches with I don't want to overgeneralize. I'm not going to say everything, but there seems to be this sense of entitlement that at once they've been there for a while or something like that, that they can just get over on everyone. And I, as a payroll person, had to kind of put them in their place when they try to pull that crap with me. It's like, no, there's certain rules that you have to abide by, and there's certain things that I have responsibility to do, and you have a responsibility to make sure that you get your time. Definitely have time. A lot of them didn't want to do that. Again, I broke them of that habit because it would cause me a lot of problems.
Well, okay, can I ask you a question?
Uh-huh.
Because when I'm, was yours more like either government or teacher employees?
Say the last half again. I didn't think you broke up.
Was yours more like government or teacher employees?
Mine was city government. I worked for the port of Seattle, so it was city. Well, yeah, city employees.
Yeah, okay, this is the difference I've seen in unions, and I'll bring the example the firefighters union in Flint. Their problem was because they knew their job couldn't be outsourced, but they didn't want their crowd to go, you know, they wanted as many people employed as possible. So they were giving away stuff. Now, I know, like, UAW people know that they can be outsourced. Their job can go away. So they negotiate. I don't know about police, but I'm assuming police are going to be like the firefighters. Hey, I'd rather have 50 coworkers than I would 25 coworkers. And I'm just thinking small town, like Flint, because Flint's down to like 25. Anyway, I would say like government employees, teachers would think the same thing, and nurses probably would think the same thing. You can't outsource that job. So, you know, you too bad, so sad kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they have
an
entitlement.
Well, and the reality of it is when it comes to somebody like, you know, a teacher, let's just say, for example, a teacher's union. Okay, so to become a teacher, you got to go to college. You got to do, you know, pass all this stuff to become a teacher.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, you kind of pay for your education, and all that. So you put money into your future, okay? And once you become a teacher, it's a lot easier, and I don't want people from the, you know, car industry to think that I'm saying something bad about it, but here's the reality. It's easier to replace a person on the line at a car plant than it is to replace a teacher. Because there's more, you know what I'm saying?
Well, so, not necessarily. Because,
yeah, sure it is.
You know,
sure it is. You know,
when you have online classes and things and the computer and all that kind of resources. So, you know, that's the
teachers have got the tenure thing going in.
Well, and that's some of the worst thing. Quite frankly, they need to get rid of the tenure business. They need to get rid of that with a passion.
Yeah, it's like being invested in your pension. Once I get to a certain spot, unless I'm beating a kid in front of everybody else, you can't get rid of me.
No, you can't. And there is a sense of entitlement. There is no incentive for them to be creative, for them to do anything different. You know, they just, I had problems with this one professor, this instructor from this college that I live down the street from now. That basically, and I had filed actually two or three complaints against him. You know, he may be retired now, but the last time that I was there, he had been there over 30 years, and basically he had a propensity for young college fresh meat and, without getting too dirty.
Well, there was an incident here in Michigan. And it was locally, and I can't think of what school it was, but there was a teacher that was so bad, she started having a nervous breakdown is what happened. And she went a little crazy, and they couldn't fire her and because she had tenure, they had to have a court call her mentally incompetent, and so to get rid of her, and so she went in and she was gone for a year and a half, and worked through whatever she was having problems with. And her psychiatrist said she's fine. She got her job back, plus back pay. So it's that kind of, you know, little weird stuff that people go,
Well, that's because, you know, like I said, you know, these teachers, like the teachers, they've got so much control, you know, there's some people that are teachers, and I'm not saying all teachers, because there are good teachers out there, but there's some people that got teaching jobs that shouldn't be teaching, but since they got in, they got and their union is so strong against the schools themselves that it's hard as hell to get rid of somebody.
Yeah, well,
it sucks, but the reality of it is the school district, you know, kind of let it happen, you know, just like GM, you know, these, I ain't gonna say GM, but just car manufacturers themselves, you know, they let the union get that strong at one point, and so they did it to themselves.
No, they provoke status quo, and that's the problem. It doesn't benefit the students. It only benefits the teachers, and a lot of the teachers, it doesn't really benefit because, you know, with all the bureaucracy and things that they have to work with, the really good ones that really want to do something really can't because their hands are tied and because they are too busy with the politics and stuff that goes on with these. You know, with a lot of these unions. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of them. You know, when I did payroll for the government ones now, that may be different now, the employees that I had were more like security employees, but they were not time clocked. They had to fill out their time sheets, and they had a hard time with that. They didn't really have a hard time. A lot of them were lazy. They didn't want to turn in their time sheets on time. Problem on my end was that it would screw up things as far as the accounting, getting the payroll reports done, L&I reports and things done, because then somebody would turn in their time sheets late and they might have worked on his overtime or differential and stuff like that. So you have to go back and call these adjustments, where if they had turned it in on time, you know, all of that would have been done on time. And it was getting to be to a point where the timekeepers were getting blamed for the stuff that they weren't doing. The employees were not spending it on time. So when I stepped into the position, I had to get tough and say no more of this. You turn your stuff in on time, you don't get paid. Well, legally, you know, they had to get paid their 40 hours or something like that. Or, you know, if they didn't have enough time, it's 40 hours unpaid time because that's the way the system works. But I was basically, didn't let them get away with it anymore. Because you're trying to stress me out over something that you have the advantage of doing, or you can go to your manager and have him fill out your time card and sign it or something like that. Why do I have to get stressed out on payroll day? And I've got other employees. Not only did I have 3 years in fact to pay, but I also had to pay the regular salary employees in the new part, too. So, and then get the time... get the payroll reports in on time. So I didn't have time to play around with that kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, this business of, you know, babying. And it's like, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, you got a job. And, you know, I have a job to do. You know, you get yourself there, just grown adult, you're not a child.
Well, you know, in some cases, you know, you got people that work, and it doesn't matter if you're a union or not a union. You know, when they work for a company for so long, they feel that they're entitled. You know,
that they because they've been somewhere so long, they should get these extra things that they shouldn't get, you know. So that's the, you know, individuals themselves, you know, not the a group.
Yeah,
I mean, but, you know, it's not the group of the you know, like you said, the union people there. It's not the group, that was the individuals that felt that they were better than everybody else, and they should get things that they shouldn't get.
But then you got leaders guarding them as well, too, because it's like, you know, I have tried to get on full time at that organization, and it's like, you know, unless you're in with the union, because there were jobs that nobody wanted. Well, the job that I had, basically, nobody wanted it. Everybody wanted me to have it. And it ended up going to the union person, and because they had somebody that was running that department that basically saw himself as kind of a benevolent savior of people, and, you know, people with sad stories and stuff, and basically he juggled some rules around, because the job that I had was never advertised. It was another job that was actually open. I was actually covering somebody else's job in that office, and the two other people were covering for somebody else while they were out on maternity leave. Well, that person ended up not coming back. Well, she only wanted to work part-time. She couldn't do that. And they wouldn't let her do it. So she ended up leaving the department and getting another job. So the bottom line is that my job was never advertised. That person applied for another job. The person that was filling in for the other lady, she had to apply for that job, but she got tired of doing the payroll job, which is what I was doing. So essentially what they turned around and did was they gave the payroll job to the union person that applied for the other job. And it's like, you know, any time that you apply for a job that's out there, oh, well, the union people have the first crack at it. It should be open to the public. You know, the public is paying the taxes. You know, and basically it was a lot of union people that just, you know, tired of doing the job that they were doing, so they wanted to cross over to something else. So they didn't really even have to apply for it. They just basically would show up and they'd give them the job. I mean, you know, it's that kind of crap that just kind of left a foul taste in my mouth about that. And then, of course, I've had my own experience with the Social Service Employees Union that I don't want to get into that one. But.
Yeah, it's...
I see it this way, you know. If you take, you know, like I said, I listen to Donnie's show on Sunday, and I listen to the people, and they all seem like, you know, good people. So I don't want to say that everybody that's in the union is, you know, out to get, you know, like I said, I've listened to the show and I've listened to some of the people that are on there. And they seem like good people. And you get just a handful of rotten eggs in the basket, and all of a sudden the whole basket sinks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't see it that way. But that's in any job, period. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, union, non-union. You get a handful of people that just are useless and are only looking out for themselves and trying to figure out ways to screw the company and all that stuff. You're always going to have a handful of those. So you can't judge everybody by that handful.
It's not even in a union that you're going to get that.
That's what I'm saying. You get that in regular companies.
How can I get mine?
you get that in regular companies that aren't union.
That's just
people. You know, that's why I said I don't want to sit here and you know, beat down people, all the people in unions, because it's not all the people. It's a handful of people.
Yeah.
You know?
And like I said before, I think it's also the union that you're in. It's not a, like Don's union, they know they can get outsourced. Teachers union, you can't really outsource a teacher's union.
Outsource a fireman.
No, and they would prefer, I would rather have 50 people at my back than 25 people at my back. So I'm going to give up stuff, you know, you know, that kind of thing. Same thing with the electrical workers. Only electrical workers are, I think, more like the teacher, you know, teachers unions. You know, hey, you can't outsource my job. And, you know, I don't care if people go without power. You know, where like firefighters and police are more, they're trying to serve.
Right.
So, you know, it all depends on what the union, you know, who they represent and how much entitlement they think they have. But they've always used UAW as the big bad guy because the UAW was the first one.
Right.
So they're always in a demon head.
Well, I've heard somebody on that show say it over and over, and I agree with them though that now he may have just been talking about in particular to that union that they got out of business a long time ago of being a union and into the business of politics, which they shouldn't be in.
Yeah, they have. They've gotten into politics and they've gotten into expanding themselves. Where like teachers unions don't have to worry about expanding themselves. You're captured nowhere. No, it doesn't matter if you're a white to work or not.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, it's just the. Okay.
I don't know how we're going
for a second.
Subject, but we need to get off of it.
Okay, I'm just going to play a commercial real quick. Tune in Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. for the UAW Factory Whistle Show. Donnie C., Dick, Scott, and Jeff talk about union news, questions, concerns, and opinions. Join us and join the conversation. And if you want to have any, if you have any questions about this, email them at trucktalk598@yahoo.com. And they're glad to address anything, even if you just want to go, why should unions be? They won't make fun of you. They'll talk it out. I have one other commercial to do. You have spring fever already. Planning next year's garden or you'd like to grow year-round, the place for you is Forever Green Grow Supplies in Vassar. They have your indoor and outdoor gardening needs covered. They carry everything from seed starting, nutrients, lighting, and hydroponics to books and videos. Forever Green also carries fresh herbs and bulk spices and herbs, plus much more. Open every day from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Forever Green Grow Supplies in Vassar or call at 989-882-9177. Okay, that was kind of the wrong one. I was going to play the updated one. But you can check out Forever Green, forevergreengrow.com. They're on the web, or you can check them out on Facebook. And now's the time to start looking at starting your seedlings, even though we got snow today. It's getting to be that time.
Is that the Beatles playing in the background?
Yeah, that's why I redid one that has a free music loops. By the way, most of our sound effects on the back of the intros and stuff like that are from free sound effects from partnersinrhyme.com, and they've got either sound effects or they've got music loops. They got a lot of stuff. They're really cool. So anytime you hear Don's toilet flush or the bomb go off or anything like that, that's also from them.
Now did you hear your girl got booted out of Fox News?
She
Sarah
was
Palin? I know. I was talking to a critic.
Did that happen to her?
Yeah, Fox News booted her out. Did you hear about that lady in Illinois that got arrested because they were trying to change her meter
And she wouldn't let him?
She was on Coast to Coast last night with Georgia Norris.
Yeah, what did she say about it?
Well, they were going over the story, and it was her. I think she owned the house with another lady, is the way that I understood it. And they had gotten notice. Actually, it was the whole town or city or something that basically they had changed these meters over to the smart meters, and but they didn't want them because of the health effects, because of the privacy issues and all of that. And I think what they had done, they had I forget where the meter exactly was, but it was in an area, it was an enclosed area, and they had like a fence around it, and she had put like a couple of bike locks or something, and they basically, they broke the bike locks in, and
that was around her fence, right? From what I seen on the news, she put the bicycle lock. She had a metal fence going around her yard,
mm-hmm.
and she put that bicycle lock around it, and then took deadbolt cutters and cut it off to go into her property.
Basically, she's fighting it in federal court, though, because their thing was, well, the analog meter did not belong to her. It belonged to the city, even though it was on her property and on her house.
Right.
And then I think at some point they said, well, they, you know, if they want to take the meter, they didn't want to have another meter replacement on there instead of just to leave them without. They said, well, the power company said they couldn't do that because it was like a safety or a code issue or something, that she'd rather just go without power or something. So they wouldn't do that. So ultimately she ended up getting arrested and fingerprinted and all of that. And there were three different charges that were against her. But anyway, she's in federal court.
Yeah, now, because we were talking about that at work, and like you said, you know, there's really not much she could have done because of the fact that the meter was owned by the city, and the city had every right to change the meter out. Now, I understand, you know, people don't want the meters and all that type of, you know, for whatever reason. You know, there's plenty of reasons not to have it or not want it, but you know, the reality of it is that was their meter, and if they wanted to change it, and it's not hers, then, you know, they have every right to change it. She had the right to tell them to shut the power off also, if she wanted to do it, and run her house on a generator, but, you know, she chose to stand in front of the thing and block them from doing it, so.
Well, there was also a thing, I think, that there was supposed to be an option where if they wanted to opt out and have another type of meter. Now, it's supposedly an unwired smart meter or something, from the way that I understand it. But I don't think that it gave her that option. And I think the thing that they were complaining about, because not enough people were resisting this, and they just kind of went along with it and not understanding, because she had said something to us that they had like some kind of meeting or some kind of warning about what these meters were going to do prior to them starting to do all of this, and that they were trying to alert people in this town or city, wherever it was, to have to go along with this. And, you know, not enough people to attention.
Now, what I did, you know, her being arrested was one thing, but the part that also heard was that there was another lady that was arrested.
She was arrested for taping it.
She was recording the conversation that they were having between, I guess, the cop and the lady. And they arrested her because the cop... Huh?
My understanding that they owned the house together. Now, I could be wrong, but that's the argument.
I don't know. You know, I didn't catch on if she was part owner. From the way I understood it, I thought she was. The way that I took it was she was a neighbor or something. I'm not real, or a friend. But that was the one that
totally blew my mind. You know, she was recording the conversation. The cops didn't want the conversation to be recorded. They told her to turn it off. She wouldn't turn it off, so they arrested her for it. What the hell law did she break?
Illinois, now this got vacated, but Illinois had a law that you could not tape, like, police officers during
what?
Their duty because, like,
They might say something that's illegal or not right.
No, what the originally the law stated that, like, informants wouldn't come up and tell police officers certain things because.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That was kind of the reason for the law because.
Well, that's bullshit.
Yeah. Now, the Supreme Court said in Illinois said no. That it was unconstitutional, and they vacated it in November. From what I understand about it, you can record them, but you can't have the sound. If the police officer says, "I do not agree to being, you know, agree to being recorded," you can't record the sound. You can record the video, not the sound.
That's crap.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's just plain crap. Okay. This is just my opinion, but the reality of it is they don't want to be recorded because, you know, when they're telling people or threatening people or doing whatever the cop's running his mouth about, they don't want that recorded so they can't go against them in the court of law. That's what that's about. And you can't tell me different. Let's be real. This is Illinois, the most corrupt state there is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So to sit there and tell me, well, the informants won't come and tell us. Well, guess what? Go someplace where it's just you and the informant.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Don't use that bullshit for an excuse. That was more, you know, to me, blew my mind more than that woman getting arrested. You know, that's nuts.
Yeah.
And no state should be able to arrest you for recording, you know, a cop because God only knows what, you know, and it's not just cops, but, you know, what somebody else will tell somebody. I mean, that cop could say, "Well, if you don't do what I'm going to do, what I tell you to do, I'm going to take you around the corner and whip your ass." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, they could tell him anything, but you have no proof. It's going to be your word against his, and guess who's going to win that case most of the time? You know, you got to have checks and balances for everybody.
Yeah, they used it. It was called a wiretapping law, and it depends on the state on whether you can do this or not. I mean, in some states, if, like, you and your husband are going through a divorce and he's abusive, you don't have to tell him you're recording that phone call. In some states, you have to.
Right, or you can't admit it in the court. But yeah. God knows the government can get on the goddamn phone and tap your phone line. For
yeah.
no reason, and that's okay. What kind of, you know, like I said, what kind of crap is this? You know, if you got rules for, you know, rule, you know, if you got laws or whatever, it's everybody. There is no exception.
I've got one that will kind of blow you. I don't know if you talked about it, but apparently out here in Oregon, there is. Congressman or Senator, I'm not sure which one, that has proposed a bill basically making cigarettes a Schedule III substance where you have to get a prescription from a doctor to get them.
Yeah, Don told me about that.
What?
Do you think that's going to pass, or do you think it's, like he said, to open a conversation about nicotine addiction?
Well, somebody out there said it had more really to do with the substance of nicotine because something like organic farmers and some of the vegetables or something had the nicotine in it. But the way that I understood this, that they were talking specifically about cigarettes, which is
or smoke tobacco.
Well, they were talking about, you know, that you had to get a prescription to get over-the-counter cigarettes. And if it's a thing of taxes, then that's stupid because you got to get it from the doctor. You're not going to raise tax revenue that way. Now, it may be about Agenda 21, but, you know, I don't think that they, you know, I don't think these people really care anything about whether or not these people live or die. They smoke. Not that I really care for smoking. I'm not smoking myself. But, you know, it may have something to do with the health care law. But I can't see that that's a way to raise taxes because the whole point of raising taxes is to be able to sell the product easily. And if you have to get a prescription, you can't sell it that easily. So.
Yeah, and how many doctors out there are going to go, okay, I'll write you a prescription so you can smoke for the next month?
I mean, the only thing that I could see them writing a prescription was like those e-cigarettes or something like that where people are trying to get off the nicotine and stuff, but, you know, which is not a cigarette. But, you know, keep in mind, and I said this the other night on Proust's show, that, you know, the insanity that goes on in Oregon, this is the same state where it's illegal to pump your own gas.
It's illegal to pump your own gas? What did you say, critic? I think. No, he's still there. Maybe his phone dropped out for a minute.
Well, critic, if you hear us, you need to call back in because we can't hear you. You disappeared. Yeah, he dropped.
Now, the recording thing where she ended up getting arrested. Now, remember we talked about the city of New York had that stop and frisk law? Well, they put an injunction on it because they said there was a lot of racial profiling. Well, that injunction has been lifted, and they can stop and frisk you now. But they have a new machine that, I think it's 10 meters. They have a new machine that's out there that can see see who's carrying concealed.
Oh, does it tell if you got a gun or not?
Yeah, and somehow it does. I can't remember what the guy said. It's like your body emits certain waves, and so if there's an area of the body where those waves are blocked, so it's not like an X-ray. If there's an area of the body where those waves are blocked, you'll be stopped and frisked. They think they'll be able to notice, you know, because it can go through clothing, but it doesn't go through, like, metal kind of thing.
Well,
I don't know why the hell anybody would live in New York City.
Well, besides the fact that they're the majority in New York City, they're nutcases. You know, I guess, and you love paying a lot in taxes, and you like to be around rude bastards, and, I mean, it'd be a great place to live.
Oh, yeah, if you want your life to be a serious daily battle, I mean, you gotta, there's some people, I guess, that like to be in a school of fish. I wouldn't be one of those people.
Well, like you said, the reality of it is if you live in New York, you are a school of fish because there's too many goddamn people in that city.
Yeah, and everyone costs so much.
Well, if you grow up and that's all you know, that's basically, you know, that's the environment that you live in.
I'm sorry, but come on. You know, you have to get out of that state sometime
to see
how the other half live.
There are people that live in that city that have never been out of their neighborhood.
Well, I'm sure there is, just like any other city, you know. There is some people like that, but that's a lot of goddamn people that's never been nowhere. I mean, there's a lot of people there.
I had a friend once that she was telling me they moved. She had moved, and she was staying out someplace. She said, I couldn't hear the freeway. She said, I couldn't go to sleep because I couldn't hear the freeway. And she said, and then, you know, she said, like, 2 months later, it was the crickets. She said they drove her nuts. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah, that's weird because what you're used to being grown up around. You know,
yeah.
I'm sure somebody in New York, you know, when you hear people screaming and hollering and shots going off and all that, you know, shit, they probably sleep right through that because they're used to it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
If I hear sirens, that would freak me right out.
You know, that's something you get used to because you've grown up in that, you know. But, you know, I couldn't handle it.
Okay. We got 10 minutes left, and there's one other thing that I want to touch on before we lose it. And by the way, Don probably will have a show tomorrow because so far he's that ticked off. But, you know, he may calm down before then.
Okay.
Napolitano is issuing warnings and claiming that that inaction on pretty much CISPA 2 would cause a cyber 9/11 attack that could knock out water, electricity, gas, and cause destruction similar to that left behind by Hurricane Sandy. She's saying that to prevent such an attack, Congress must pass legislation that gives the U.S. government greater access to the Internet and cybersecurity information from the private sector. So you knew it was coming. And now Panetta also chimed in. He didn't call it a cyber 9/11, but he called it the cyber Pearl Harbor. Yeah.
These jackasses will do anything, won't they?
Oh, yeah.
They'll say anything to try to panic people.
Yep. Says, given all the realities, where am I at? Given all that relies on a safe and secure Internet, it is vital that we do what's necessary to protect ourselves from hackers, cyber thieves, and terrorists. And that's Senator Tom Carper from Delaware. You big ass kisser. And the White House is also working on an executive order that would encourage companies to meet government cybersecurity standards. And on to the next story Google, Microsoft, and somebody else, but Skype is not one of them, a biannual transparency report. And they let you know what government requests were done. And according to them, government requests for Google user data have risen 70% since 2009. 40% of user data requests came from the United States government in 2012. These requests are for user identifying information issued under the Electronic Communication Privacy Act and are the easiest to get because they typically don't involve judges. Now it's saying that, let me see if he can tell me, there's somewhere in here it told me the total amount of requests. Well, it's a 33% increase from 2011. So if you don't think that that the government's calmed down and stopped spying on you, on the man that said, oh, by the way, everything Bush is doing is unconstitutional and I'll roll that back. It says Google has complied with 2/3 of the total requests globally. And they complied with 88% of the requests in the United States. So they do want to know what you're doing. They do want to know what you think. They are testing the waters to see how things are going. It doesn't matter if you've got a terrorist link. It doesn't matter if you know a foreign person. They want to know what you're up to, what you're clicking on, what you're reading. Because I won't say that they're targeting you directly, but they want to know what the feelings of the American people are. And the best way they can do that is to listen into your phone calls. Look and see what you surf on the web. What do you click on? Speaking of which, we had a weird incident yesterday. We get helicopter flyovers every once in a while out here because we're not too far from the airport. We had a helicopter flyover last night, and I was sitting in the living room watching TV, and that thing, it was loud. And I heard it coming, and it sounded like it stopped over our house. It stayed there for like 5 minutes. I finally got up and went and looked out the window. And then it moved off. I didn't see lights. So it must have been right over the house because I looked out the front. And I came back and I said something to Don, and he's going, oh, yeah. He said, I looked out the window too. He said, I didn't see any lights either. And we get flybys also every once in a while. They'll do you know, they'll do that infrared looking for, like, drug houses kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Or looking out in the summer, they look out in the fields because we've got a ton of fields out here.
Uh-huh.
Looking for, you know, pot plants and stuff like
pot
that.
Growers.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a little weird that they kind of stayed over the top of our house. I told Don, I said, what the hell have you been doing on the computer?
Blame him real quick, huh?
I did.
Well, it wasn't a drone.
Well, I don't think the drones sound as loud as helicopters. I've been watching out for drones because we've got the airport real close to us.
Mm-hmm.
I figure if anybody in the area is using them, you know, I'll probably see it at some point.
Right.
But I haven't seen any yet.
None yet?
Nope.
Well, you know, earlier we were talking about, you were asking me about that woman that fight they had in the food stamp line.
Yeah.
I want to apologize. I thought it was in Detroit. It wasn't. It was in St. Louis.
Yeah, I corrected you.
Oh, did you? I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I had to stick up for my state.
Yeah, it was St. Louis. The woman pulled a pair of scissors on the other one, I guess, for cutting in line or something to that effect.
Oh, Lord.
They were fighting over line space.
That's
you know.
I guess it goes state by state, but I know my mom was applying for like home assistance. There's a program in Michigan where if you're low income, they can come in and do like a check on your house and help winterize, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And they'll like check your windows and they'll check your insulation. And if there's anything they can get like low cost, like installments, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she got to do that all over the phone. She didn't have to go down to. And I know our unemployment has gone, that they encourage you to go online and sign up so you don't have to go down to the office.
Yeah, that's how it is down here. You just get online, you do everything online. Now this was years ago. You know, when you collected unemployment, you had to fill out your little piece of paper and stuff and go down to the unemployment office, stand in line, and fill it out and go talk to them and all that. And then every, you know, I forgot how long it was because it was years ago. Every, like, 3 months or whatever, you had to go talk to somebody. So you always had to go down. Now, you get on the computer, you do everything on the computer, and you never see the unemployment office.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming that's because, you know, they don't want a line out there.
But if you're applying for stamps, you wouldn't really necessarily have internet connection. I just want to say, everybody, thanks for coming. We will be back again next Friday.
And possibly on tomorrow.
Yes, we'll be on tomorrow, most probably at 9 p.m. with Donnie. And next Friday at 10 p.m.
Don't forget Sunday.
Yep. And then there's Sunday.
There you go. UAW show. And I probably won't be here tomorrow because Donnie's going to bitch at me because I brought up Union.
You know, I say we don't say anything to him about it. And unless somebody comes up and talks to him, I don't think he listens to the show.
Oh, what a jerk.
I don't, unless he's going to do, you know, he's looking forward to, like, one of the stories we're going to talk about or, you know, something like, or he's not going to do a show. I don't think he listens to it.
Oh,
good. So I think you got no problem. And so a whole bunch of union guys come down and go, what the hell have you been teaching your wife?
Well, like I said,
we'll see.
Well,
I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying anything.
All you got to say is, he says anything to you, all you got to say is blame me. That's all you got to say. Bob did it.
Yeah.
He started this crap. And he just bombarded me and he had me frazzled. That's all I have to say. I'll take the heat.
Yeah. Let me take a little break here for a second. We'll be right back after a few minor adjustments. Thank you. Can be a little bit tough. Wrong one.
We are Forever Green Grow Supplies for all your indoor and outdoor growing needs. We carry a full line of many big name vendors in stock. We also offer dried herbs, spices, and many blends of tea with fresh herbs coming in February. Open to help you from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. 7 days a week. Visit our website at forevergreengrow.com or like us on Facebook. Located in Vassar, Michigan at 340 South Main Street, right across from M&J Auto. We offer discreet delivery within 10 miles of Vassar. Stop in and see us soon or call us at 989-882-9177. We are looking forward to helping you. Thanks in advance, Forever Green.
Okay. I just have to get Don to start making the commercials. Now that I've got it kind of figured out and I can walk him through it.
Do you have anything else?
The only other thing I had was after the shooting, states rethink mental health care cuts. Yeah. A lot of the states have been cutting mental health care. And a lot of them are turning that opinion around and saying, hey, we got to start doing something about this.
Well, I think they should spend more money on that. Don't get me wrong, but I don't understand. Because I was listening to this Obama crap about checking mental health before they sell you a gun. I would have thought that would have been, kind of
only
doing that to begin with.
Only 13 states do that. See, and that's the problem with the background check, I guess. And I didn't know this, but the background check only goes in if an agency decides to put it in the database.
Mm-hmm.
So, like a little small town like Schwartz Creek, say, the kid down the street goes nuts and, trashes a bunch of cars an 18-year-old goes out and trashes a bunch of cars. Well, they're not going to put him, they don't necessarily put him in the database, even though he's done it like 3 different times. He just gets a jail time. They don't put that in the database. Their reporting kind of gets kind of lax on certain things. It's not automatically put in. And the same thing with mental health. There's only 13 states that require if somebody is ended up having to be hospitalized or was like violent if they're going through therapy kind of thing. There's only 13 states that require them to put that into the database.
Well, what concerns me most about that when they start talking about that stuff is, you know, there's a lot of people, because the way these doctors are now, you know, with prescribing shit,
yeah,
you know, to make a dollar, that, you know, if there's some people get, like, medications for, say, depression. Okay? Now, what worries me about that, you know, like if somebody goes nuts, you know, you should automatically put it in the database and that should be automatic. But what concerns me is, you know, what if they start going to, well, you know, this person's on this medication.
Oh, yeah.
The doctor prescribed them to him. So we better, you know. If he's on that medication, then he shouldn't have a gun.
But that's the one thing that they won't talk about. That's the one thing that all of these shooters have had in common, that they all have been on some kind of psychotropic drug, because not
so
all mental illnesses, you know, you can't say all mental illnesses would require, like they were trying to say this, by had some kind of signs of autism. I've never heard of anybody with autism, you know, autistic going ballistic like that.
I'll say that again. Most, and I swear to God, it has to be like 99% of autistic kids. They go away. They want you to go away, and they curl into a ball to pretend you're not there.
Yeah.
If they go ballistic, what they do is they cover their head and scream. To block you out, put together a plan, and you know, I'm gonna take this, and this with me, and I'm gonna drive to this school because it's a gun free zone, and shoot a bunch of people. And I'm not saying he wasn't part of it, but there had to be somebody else that put him up to doing that.
Well, all signs point to that this is a false flag to begin with. All signs point to that to begin with. But the thing is that they don't want to talk about the drug part of it. Which, you know,
right.
Frankly, I would make a law, not that it would stop anybody who really wants to get it, but I would say something that, you know, if you have a history, a medical history, or you're on any of these kind of psychotropic drugs, you know, Ritalin, Prozac, Valium, you know, any of that kind of stuff, lithium, that can alter your mood or something like that. You would be in some kind of a database where if you wanted to try to get a gun legally, it would be very hard, or you would not be sold one. But that's not to say that would actually stop anybody from getting it. You know.
Now, there's an actual website. And I'll tell people, see if this comes up, because I had it favorited. It's called... okay, now my link isn't working. Okay, it's called SSRIES.com. And so it's SSRI stories.com. And all it is is a database. What happened, whether it was a shooting, a threat, robbery, stabbing, and what the person was on at the time. And it would It would just amaze you. There's 4,800 stories just in the media, and that's all they're doing is they're looking for news stories, and then they capture the news story. So they've got links to the story itself. That were part of FDA testimony in either 1991, 2004, or 2006, in which antidepressants were mentioned. That's only 3 years. And that's just the antidepressants were mentioned in the news story or in the testimony. Now, come on. Nobody... But yeah, the mental health thing is kind of a slippery slope. It kind of makes me a little nervous. But anybody that's been locked down or is threatening violence, I don't see why you can't put that into the national search database. I wouldn't say okay because somebody's on this kind of medication automatically do it because not everybody gets nutty on it.
But you know that's what will happen.
I would hope that they would change your doctor's reaction to that medication, where there's certain medications where your doctor has to really oversee you. So if your doctor's giving you this medication, you should have to be, she can't give you like Chantix for 6 months. Checking on you like every 2 months to see if there's a mood change, or when you begin it to see if there's a mood change, and then after that they should be able to change that with your doctor as far as it goes. And then anybody, like I said, anybody that's, because that guy in Colorado, he told his psychiatrist that he had fantasies of doing that,
right?
So, but she didn't inform anybody. Well, she informed the security at the college to keep an eye on him. But that kind of stuff, that if that goes into the national database, a gun seller is going to go, oh, you've been talking to somebody about having fantasies about shooting up a mall or shooting up a school or shooting a bunch of other people, and you're standing here in front of me wanting to buy 3 guns. I don't think so.
Yeah.
But then again, it's not like it's going to stop anything, because if somebody wanted to go get it illegally, they could go get it legally. It's like drugs or anything else. So,
Well, see, that's the other thing. It's supposed to dry up the supply of illegal guns. If it makes it harder to get certain guns out there, then it's only the ones that are there. They don't last forever. Then the black market will dry up. Which,
yeah, right.
Really, how long does that? How long?
Yeah.
Oh, well, like it did in the '80s and the '90s and stuff. After all those gang bangers in the hood and stuff, it dried up real well then, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing. Okay, if the guns dry up. And they can't get a hold of them. What's to stop them from using baseball bats? What's to stop them from using a coiled spring wrapped with electrical wire? What's to stop them using with concrete in a sock?
Well, nothing is going to stop them, but the point is the guns are not going to dry up. And as long as you have the government being the biggest supplier of them to begin with, it ain't going away. Because anybody in the hood can tell you where it's getting that stuff from. You don't think gangbangers are going down to the local Walmart or the local Bob and Smith gun store and, showing their ID and signing up for some registry, for an AK or an automatic or whatever. I don't know the terminology, whatever. They're not going down there doing that. Trust me, that ain't happening.
Yeah, and and hey, just anybody's got to stop and think about this. Seriously, you think you're going to keep the guns out of the hands of criminals when you couldn't, when you walked them across the Mexican border and you knew about three of them after they shot somebody, after they shot Border Patrol? Kiss my ass.
That's why I say I don't understand, you know. I seen Holder was, you know, putting his, doing his thing that he, you know, Obama told him to do, and he's, you know, starting to make up all these rules, and he's the one that was doing it, you know.
Yeah. And he still has
that, that just blows my damn mind. And
where was Daryl Issa, you know, all of these so-called Tea Party Republicans who were going to stand up with it? Oh, but it goes back to Bush, so we're not going to go investigate. Now, had they had done their job, you know, it might not have gotten as far as it. They couldn't have gotten away with the, what they're trying to pull with.
Right.
They let him dance around, and we can't release this stuff, and we can't do this, and then finally they let it die down because I think it was the death ceiling came up after that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And now they're trying to bring it back out again. And, you know, like I said, this shit's been going on for, what, a year?
Oh.
Over a year.
Yeah.
You know, but the reality of it is this. There's no reason why it should have took this long, no matter what. It shouldn't have took this long. This should have been dealt with and whoever needed to be fired, and
well,
that's it. Because God knows if I would have done it, my ass would have been in prison already, like the next day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, go to YouTube and type in North Omaha, Nebraska, and you see, like, well, you'll get, like, videos of gangsters just basically popping off and bragging about how hard they are and how much firepower and stuff that they have and things like that. So it's like, you know, that doesn't even shame them. And it's like, you know, if they're going to get on YouTube and do things like that, you know, the laws are useless. I mean, you know, the harm is the ones that try to protect themselves.
Well, Joe Biden made two really stupid comments. One was, is all you need is a double-barrel shotgun. They're more accurate than an AR-15. That's what he calls an assault weapon. And the other one was, crap.
Well,
I totally forgot it.
If you're living in North O or South LA or Oakland or South Side of Chicago, where they're coming out pop, and, you know, you hear pop every night, you know, I got news for you. You might need something that's semi-automatic. No, not might. You will need it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm done with the stupid rhetoric. I'm done with grabbing onto one thing and then everybody explains it away. I feel it seems like it. You know what it seems like? It seems like we're playing telephone line. Remember when you played that when you were like 5 years old, and one person says a sentence and then you keep whispering it in the next person's ear, and it goes all the way around until it's something totally different.
Mm-hmm.
It's just getting stupid.
I disagree with you there. Yeah.
All right. Well, if
I got nothing more. So whenever you're ready to call it done, I'm ready.
Okay. Well, I'm ready.
All right. Well, I guess I'll see y'all tomorrow then.
Yep, tomorrow at 9.
All right. Later, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Are you all set, critic?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Did you have anything else?
No, I didn't have anything else. I still have to get with you guys about the address thing.
Yeah. Actually, are you going to be up for a little bit, a little while longer tonight? Because I can just go ahead and give you a call after the show.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because I gotta go to my brother's tomorrow, and I know Don's working tomorrow.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm just waiting for them to put this guy to bed here, so you don't hear all that noise like you hear in the background.
Yeah. I heard somebody wasn't too happy.
No. But yeah, I'll be up for a while.
Okay. Well, then I'll give you a call probably in like 5 minutes here.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I'll be up.
Okay. For everybody downloading the show, tomorrow night, 9 p.m. If he's not there, then we'll see you on Sunday at 7 p.m. for the Factory Whistle Show.
Okay. Well, later.
All right. Good night. Good night, everybody.